Again, want to thank all the department heads for their time and effort in putting this budget together. Especially want to thank Commissioner Ferrari, Liz Nelson, Curtis Eatman, Alex Sutherland, of course, John Coluccio, who's doing the technical support tonight, does so many other things, again, to make the city run smooth. Have just a quick overview there of Paul Nelson, right in the center of an organizational chart. Just including that for general reference to the council. Again, formally presenting to the city council by statute tonight the proposed operating budget for 2019. The budget that I'm submitting to the council is a tax rate of 13.08 cents per thousand. This is a 5.8% less than it was in 2015, and it is a little over a half a percent reduction from the current budget. This will be the fourth consecutive year that we've been able to cut taxes in the city of Schenectady. And in addition to what is often overlooked is under the state laws, the final assessed taxable value and rate is based on the total assessed valuation, so that number can change a penny or two based on reductions between now and the end of the year or additions in the overall assessed valuation within the city of Schenectady. We've been able to steadily reduce the tax rate in large part due to our partnership with Metroplex and its leadership of the Unified Economic Development Team within this county and city. I specifically thank Ray Gillen, who's joining us tonight in the rear of the room. It's been a phased approach focusing on downtown, expanding out. We have aggressive engagement in the neighborhoods now. Really, we're at the point where sometimes it's hard to keep up with the announcements of new businesses and venues that are moving into or expanding within the city of Schenectady. We continue to have a focus on improving our neighborhoods. With the successful renaissance in downtown, that we've been able to shift resources into the neighborhoods. We look at continuing that focus, and really it's a results-oriented package that we're producing for this community. It's not only dealing with blight and the most significant distress properties, but it's creating opportunities and investments. Our very successful homes program, this year so far we've sold 136 properties. We've taken in a little over $1.5 million in revenue from that. The budget I'm submitting to the council projects that we'll net about $1.6 million next year. This next slide shows the houses that we've sold over the years. They're color-coded by year, and it shows that the distressed property that we've dealt with in the foreclosure process really is not limited to any neighborhood. It goes across the city. Some areas it's a little bit more concentrated, but it shows that we're doing a comprehensive process of foreclosing on the properties, bringing them in-house, working with realtors to sell them, where our primary goal is to make them owner-occupied. There's some properties that by the very nature of their construction and structure will never be owner-occupied, but that becomes the goal, is to attract people to this community. Beyond supporting the new home buyer products, it's putting properties back on the tax rolls and improving our neighborhoods. That if you look at the stress property and challenging properties that we still deal with, this is what I believe is current data, and it's a little bit in flux there as we try and keep it updated. There are 780 vacant buildings or structures in the city of Schenectady now. These are the properties that drive our police costs, our fire costs, code enforcement, and the overall resources of the city. It is an ongoing effort. It really requires a coordinated and focused approach, and it's something that we have been doing, and I look to do in 2019 and go forward, be better able to deal with those properties that are vacant. This shows a quick overview. It's hard to see, but it's a breakdown of how those properties are categorized. This next slide is a little bit more clear, doesn't have the geographic impact, but shows it. We have 62 that we identify as bank-owned properties. The city right now, through its foreclosure process, we own or have been moved to SURA and title, have 194 properties. That's about 25% of the properties we're dealing with. There are roughly 60% of the properties that are in individuals' names and about another 7% that are in LLCs or corporations. Some of those LLCs and individuals are still in the process of banks foreclosing on them and taking title to them, but the paper trail has not been cleaned up so that it still shows ownership with individuals or corporation, subchapter S, or some form of other structure. This summer, we announced our Smart City project with National Grid, which is approved by the Public Service Commission. This is going to enable us to proceed with our citywide deployment of advanced street lighting technology. This is really an unprecedented project. It's going to allow us to reduce energy consumption, save taxpayer dollars, reduce our greenhouse gases, and improve the delivery of services within the city of Schenectady. I had the opportunity this past year to testify before Congress, again talking about some of the things that we are doing here in Schenectady to lead in innovative programs and technological deployments. The city of Schenectady was also awarded this past May by the United States Conference of Mayors the 2018 Climate Protection Award for the work that we're doing. Schenectady, the two cities that received it were Schenectady and Austin, Texas. Austin received the Large City Award, Schenectady received the Small City Award. But it shows that our efforts are being recognized, that we're laying the groundwork for significant programs here, but that recognition is being picked up by other communities across the state and across the country. We've begun to expand our Wi-Fi deployment as part of that Smart Cities program. This is just the snapshot where some of the AP points along Erie Boulevard and downtown. We also have one that's active in Central Park. Roughly a 60-day period, we had 8,500 new users. We had roughly 6,000 people who came back and used that platform multiple times. That, I believe, is significant as we go forward. This next slide, again, talking about the poverty rates that we deal with. Schenectady has a poverty rate of little over 20% individuals below the poverty line. It's one out of five people, but the significant number is, if you look in the right-hand column, some other communities there, we're the fourth one down. A third of our children are below the poverty level. And that's the challenge that they face every day with sometimes having the basic needs met. It shows up in the challenges that the school district works with, and it is one of the things that we have to focus on. And as we do the smart city deployment, where Wi-Fi is again one of the communication protocols that will be put in place, we're going to have a low-pan network, there'll be cellular and some other ones that will allow for the full deployment of IoT devices, but it's working with the school district to provide some of that educational gap, or closing the educational gap, where individuals and households of poverty are not able to do that today. And it's something that I look forward to working with the council, with the school district, and the community as a whole as we deploy this and really put a platform that is going to be recognized as unique not only within New York State, but the country and quite practically globally. We have several things going on. The Main Street Complete Streets Program Linkage Study, which is being done in conjunction with the city staff and with the Capital District Transportation Committee. We're going to be able to announce that shortly, the award of the contract, and start that. It's focusing on Main and Craig Street, coming across from Hamilton Hill into Mount Pleasant. The things that we learn there are going to be able to be deployed across the community. And again, that's not being done in a vacuum. It's we're looking at the senior and affordable housing that has been built and is being completed on Craig Street and Hamilton Hill. We've got the new Boys and Girls Club that's underway, the Mount Pleasant Branch Library, the Electric City Barn Makerspace is there. There's a number of significant projects that are happening in that neighborhood in the community. One of the other things that we are working on is the Neighborhood Revitalization Strategy Area, commonly referred to as NNRSA. This we're going to hopefully be able to wrap up in roughly the next 60 days. This designation will enable us to be much more flexible in how we allocate and spend community development block grant money. Where today, where there's caps in different categories, this will allow us, again, to approach it more comprehensively in a coordinated effort to deal with the problems in what we have designated these three census tracts. And again, the things that we learn there that are successful can hopefully be deployed in other areas of the city and hopefully setting an example for other communities in the region and across the state. We will announce very shortly, could do it tonight, probably wait till tomorrow, the Stockade Flood Mitigation Project with FEMA. That's an $8.6 million two-phase project, and we're close to, again, putting that contractor in place to study the causes of flooding in the Stockade and evaluate flood reduction options and implement the best practical mitigation for those individuals that have been affected by high water in the past, and hopefully we can prevent some of the things in the future, or when they do happen, to minimize their inconvenience and damage that occurs. One of the things that came out of the Tax Cuts and Job Act of 2017 were the creation of opportunity zones. These were census tracts that had to be designated by the governor of each state, conjunction with communities, sent to the Department of Treasury in Washington for final approval. Governor Cuomo has designated census tracts across the state. Schenectady was a recipient in three census tract designations, and we look forward to that final approval from the Department of Treasury, it's really the IRS, so that we can then put that in our marketing package and toolbox for economic development within this community. Look at the neighborhood development. Again, we have almost $100 million worth of projects that are ongoing or underway in downtown, but we have $150 million worth of activity in the neighborhoods. The Joseph Allen Apartments have been completed, Summit Towers renovations, Hillside View, the first phase, the second phase, Renaissance Square off Eastern Avenue, Yates Village. There's significant investment that's occurring here, again, in the neighborhoods in larger projects. And this also is creating an environment that encourages smaller projects by individual property owners or homeowners. The budget that I'm submitting to you tonight has a slight reduction in the police department. Just a few thousand dollars, but it shows that we are managing the resources within the community. We are trying to hold costs down. At the same time, there still is an inflationary pressure and increased costs. We're looking to do building trust and legitimacy in the community through 21st century policing. We're looking to continue the technical upgrades. Body cameras will be deployed in 2019. You know, we use that Wi-Fi network now to download the in-car video. It's just one example of increased efficiency in the policing. For in-car video, we used to have to take and unload the data. It was a very cumbersome, time-consuming project with a Wi-Fi network that's been deployed. The police cars will swing by some of the spots downtown. As they wait for a red light to cycle, the vehicles automatically take the data. It's downloaded, transmitted in a secure fashion, and goes into long-term storage so that it can be managed and retrieved as needed. The fire department, I'm also submitting a budget with a slight reduction in overall cost. Cannot compliment the great leadership of Chief Senecal. I read that someplace. Great job he's doing. Say that with a little bit of humor, but it's really a great team to work with, both police and fire. In the work that they do every day, can just under 70% of the work in that department is emergency medical services. They are done with a high level of professionalism, great outcomes. The arson unit within the department, the police department, has one of the highest closure rates in the country, if not the highest closure rate. We have partnerships with Knowles Atomic Power Lab, the military and the civilian support team at Stratton Air National Guard Base in Scotia, and we work on an ongoing basis with the American Red Cross. Our code enforcement budget I'm submitting has an increase of a little over $211,000. It reflects the addition of two full-time code enforcement officers. Again, that's been a dynamic process as we look to restructure and increase the accountability in that department under the leadership of Public Safety Commissioner Idens and Chris Lund, who's Chief Building Inspector. We're looking to have better data collection, better manage the resources, and drive higher quality outcomes for better improvement and value in our neighborhoods. The OGS budget that I'm submitting has a slight reduction in it. We're looking to hold staffing about the same. The trash fees remain unchanged. Looking to change a little bit in terms of the organizational structure, putting two crew leader positions in. And in 2019, we're looking to better utilize two new walk-behind rollers that we've purchased, which will allow for more timely repair of potholes. And looking for two additional SNAP people. Part of that is to help manage the property that we're taking in foreclosure, where we then become responsible for sidewalk maintenance and other site upkeep for those properties. Finance, development, and utilities has a slight decrease in the overall budget. We've completed a transition to paperless requisitions and look to, again, continue to build on that to minimize the use of paper and do things more electronically. We're looking to implement through MVP a telemedicine program so that will enable city employees, their dependents, and retirees to access medical services on their smartphone to be able to talk to either a nurse, physician's assistant, or a physician. And hopefully minimize some of the trips to outpatient care or emergency rooms. Part of that also, the overall cost savings, got favorable rates in terms of purchase of electricity. We renewed those contracts. Again, I thank Mr. Ferrari, Mr. Coluccio for staying on top of that overall trends in the market, being able to close a deal when it was very favorable for the city of Schenectady. The water and sewer funds, there's slight increases in the overall budgets. That's because of utilization. The water and sewer rates will remain the same. We're looking to hire two new water plant operators. Again, work to expand our lead service replacement program. And we have the two major ongoing projects for infrastructure upgrading. the North Ferry Street pump station and upgrades at the wastewater treatment facility at Anthony Street. Our golf fund is in good shape. The golf course is in great shape. Where's the golf pro? Mr. Daly came in, sitting in the back there. If you haven't seen the course, stop by, because it is without question the best municipal course in this region, and I'll match it against any course across the state. The overall state aid formulas, if anybody could explain this formula to me, I would yield this podium to you. It is something my colleague in Albany, Kathy Sheehan, announced her budget earlier today. They face a discrepancy in the state aid formula. Albany is actually below what Schenectady gets. They get the spin-up aid or other aid, but the numbers range. Look at Buffalo on a per capita basis. They get $600, $617 a person. Schenectady, we get $169. You have communities of smaller populations of Troy, Utica, other places that get significantly more money than Schenectady does. Even though our residents expect and deserve the same level of services, and it translates into higher bottom line property taxes. The budget that proposing, and just comparing it to our other taxing levels, the school tax still represents over 50% of your tax bill. The county's a little over 15%, and the city's share is a little over 30%. And the end summary, again, the 2019 budget is a little over 0.5% less than what it was last year. This is 5.8% less than it was in 2015. And our tax levy, again, that's the total amount of taxes we collect, is down. And this is going to be, again, the fourth year where I'm submitting and working with the council to produce a tax reduction for the residents of the city. I thank you, appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight, and look forward with you as we go through the process to finalize this budget by November 1st. And myself and the staff stand ready, willing, and able to assist in whatever questions or information that the council needs. Thank you.